So the text for the sermon this morning is in the chapter we just read, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and it's going to be this one verse, verse 7, where we hear David speaking to Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, and he says, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." All right. Okay. You heard it twice now. Beloved congregation of the Lord, brothers and sisters, just imagine that you got an invitation to come for dinner at the palace. That's the story that we hear here. Mephibosheth invited to come to Jerusalem, to the palace. Just imagine for a moment. Let's say King Charles III, he wanted to be nice and he invites some people also from Canada for his coronation that's coming up sometime in May, I believe. And let's say you got an invitation to come over to Buckingham Palace and have dinner with the king and his family and his guests. Yeah, you would be astonished, I'm sure. Why me? Out of all people. And then you start thinking, what's supposed to happen? What should I wear? How should I behave? I don't know anything about table manners and the palace and so on. So in our text, we hear about this man, Mephibosheth, special person, son of Jonathan, son of King Saul, grandson. And he is invited to come to Jerusalem, to King David. And it's going to be a beautiful picture, actually, of what happens this morning when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. You're invited to the table to experience God's kindness. And that word kindness is a key word in the chapter. It's mentioned three times. And David says, "If there is still anybody alive among the sons or grandsons of Saul, I want to show God's kindness to him." So the theme of the sermon is this: experiencing God's kindness at the king's table. And we are going to see that this is a surprise, and it's guaranteed, and it's enjoyed. So to get into the story, King David, he has become king, he has defeated all the enemies, he's at the height of his power, things are really going well, the people are happy. Just think of them. They had come out of Egypt. There they were slaves, and now they are here in the promised land, and everything is going well. In chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "The Lord gave victory to David wherever he went." That's wonderful. If God's people are enjoying God's blessings because they are being ruled by a righteous king, that doesn't always happen. But here, David is a righteous king, and the people, they reap the benefit. Now, it's not going to take very long before things are going downhill. A few chapters later, we are unfortunately going to hear about David committing a sin. You know that story, Bathsheba and adultery, and he even killed her husband and so on. But here, things are still going well. David has become king. And he is organizing the nation, and he wants the people to experience the blessings and the kindness of the Lord. And then David remembers something. Chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul?" Now remember, Saul was David's enemy. Saul wanted to kill David. He didn't succeed. David survived. Saul was killed in battle with the Philistines. But Saul wanted to kill David. And we hear And here David says, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul? It might seem like, oh, what's the plan here? Why does he want to know if anyone is still alive from the house of Saul? Does he want to finish them off, as sometimes happens when there is a new king, kill the whole family of the previous king? No. Verse 1, David says, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? And verse 3 again, the king said, is there still not someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? So David calls Ziba, who used to be Saul's servant, and asks, is there still someone alive from the family of Saul? Yes, Ziba says, there is still a son of Jonathan. His name is Mephibosheth. He's crippled. He lives in Lodabar. Now, Lodabar, for your information, was a small village on the other side of the Jordan, in a corner of the kingdom. If you want a comparison from today, it's like you live in Ontario and then you want to move far away but not outside of the country, so maybe you go to Quebec or something. Far enough to not bother anybody. So that's what happened with Mephibosheth. It's a sad story, really. You can read about it in chapter 4. So when Jonathan, his father, died in battle, there was a panic, and the nurse that was taking care of this child, Mephibosheth, 5 years old, she picked him up, she ran away, she dropped him, he got injured. He was a cripple for the rest of his life. He became lame. And Mephibosheth, when he grew up, probably thought, my grandfather tried to kill David. David is not going to like me. Let me go far away as possible. So he went across the Jordan, lives in a small village, Lodabar, in someone's house. He doesn't even live in his own house. It's like, in today's language, you live in someone's basement, you don't own anything. He's basically hiding. And then Mephibosheth receives the news. A messenger from King David, you have to come to Jerusalem, to the palace. That must have been scary. And you can just tell that he is scared in verse 6. We read, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. He's afraid. He's thinking, oh, why am I supposed to come to Jerusalem? What is the king going to do to me? Does he want to finish the whole family off? And then the surprise, he hears these words. David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. Kindness. I will show you kindness. Chesed in Hebrew. Beautiful word. Can also be translated as loving kindness. Don't be afraid. I want to be kind to you. I want to show kindness to you. What a surprise that must have been for Mephibosheth. He had no right to be received like this. As I said, he was the grandson of King Saul, who had persecuted David. But here we see King David, brothers and sisters, as the righteous king. We just sang Psalm 72 about a righteous king under whose rule God's people flourish. Even the poor and the needy, they have a place to live. There is peace and prosperity for everyone. And here in King David, we see the character and the heart of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he too shows surprising kindness to sinners like you and me. You come to him as a sinner and you think, how is this going to work? I am a sinner. And then he says, you hear these wonderful words, fear not, I want to show kindness to you. So that's the first thing we see this morning, the surprise, the surprising kindness of God. And that is where we start to see the gospel emerging, the surprise of the gospel. And it's good to think about that for a minute as we see the table here. The gospel is surprising. We're all sinners. We don't deserve anything. We deserve to be condemned. And then we come in church and you see the bread and the wine and you hear these words, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And you and I, we need to apply that to ourselves personally, because we all stand before the King of Kings. And sooner or later, we are going to be standing before Him. We are going to appear before Him. It's in the works. It's coming. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due us for the things while done in the body, whether good or bad." You sometimes think of that? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what kind of person you are. I know what kind of person I am. You know what you've done in your lifetime on earth. You know what you deserve. It's a scary thought. Makes you tremble. But then, if you have put your hope in Jesus Christ, you hear these words, "Do not fear, I will show kindness to you." Brothers and sisters, that is the message of the gospel that we see with our eyes on the table here this morning. Sinners like you and me, we all deserve to be judged because we are sinners, but when we cling to Christ, we are acquitted. "Do not fear, you will experience the kindness of my Father in heaven. The bread is broken, given to you. The wine is poured out, it's given to you." Symbols of the guarantee. No need to fear. You may eat at the King's table. What kindness showing to us. Surprising indeed. Now the second thing, because the question might come up, what confidence do we have that indeed we will hear those surprising words? "Do not fear." How can we be sure? How could Mephibosheth be sure that King David was not just putting on a show so that maybe there would be a nice report about him in the media? "Oh, King David, he's such a wonderful man. He even invited Mephibosheth to come to his palace." How could Mephibosheth be sure that this is not just words, but that it was going to be a reality? Well, David explains, "There is a reason why I want to be kind to you." Verse 7, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness," and here it comes, "for the sake of your father Jonathan." That is the reason. Remember the story? What was that between David and Jonathan? A remarkable friendship. Jonathan, son of King Saul, David's enemy, but Jonathan and David were friends. And Jonathan had told David, "I know my father hates you, but I love you. I know you will be the king. And let's make a covenant. Please, you have to promise me that you will show kindness to me and my children after me, my descendants." You can find it if you're interested in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And David had promised before the Lord, "That's a covenant between you and me." And now that David is king of Israel, he remembers his promise to Jonathan. So he is asking, "Is there still anyone left from the house of Saul that I can keep my promise, show kindness?" So David is a man of integrity here. He is a good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ because he keeps his promises. And just like God keeps his promises to us, so David keeps his promises to Jonathan. So In David, we see that he is now a forerunner, a type, you could say, of Christ. And when you see David in this story, you and I, we need to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. Because if David could be trusted to keep his promise to Jonathan, and making room for Jonathan's son in his home, how much more we can be sure that the Lord Jesus, the perfect Son of God, will keep his promises to us. There is an everlasting covenant between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that they will show kindness to everyone who puts his faith in Jesus Christ. It's his promise. Remember the day of your baptism. Your promise is made. God told you, I will be your Father. Surround you with my fatherly care. Jesus Christ is your Savior, your sins forgiven in his name. The Holy Spirit will dwell in you, work in your life to transform you, renew you. When we look at ourselves, of course, we cannot be confident at all. We are feeble, frail, not consistent in our faith. We often fall in sin. And therefore God's word said, look at Jesus Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And when we eat, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, you will hear these words again, you know them well. Do not cling with your heart to these outward symbols, bread and wine, but lift up your hearts on heaven, in heaven where Christ our advocate is, at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. When I look at myself, everything is doubtful. But when I direct my eyes to Jesus Christ, everything is secure because he is faithful to his promise. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or to put it in the positive, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will not be condemned, but you will experience God's loving kindness now and forever. Sometimes we do not have consistent faith. Sometimes we do not have, sometimes we do not trust God's promises enough. Let me put it like that. You hear the gospel preached every Sunday, like from this pulpit, and we still can have these doubts. Will the Lord really forgive me? Well, I'm here as a servant of the gospel, and I'm here to proclaim to you that God is good and that he will fulfill his promises to show kindness to you and me. What God promised to you on the day of your baptism, he will surely do. But what you and I have to do is one thing. We have to come and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Just imagine if Mephibosheth on the other side of the river had thought, I'm not sure. I don't trust this. I'm not going to go to Jerusalem. I'd rather stay here in my basement. So if we hear the call, come, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Come to the table and receive the bread and drink the wine, showing that you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what we have to do. And then we will experience God's goodness, because if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give us all things graciously with him? And so we come to the last aspect of the text. I want to keep it short. What does Mephibosheth receive? It is amazing if you think of it. David says, do not fear. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will do two things. I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. Just think about that. I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father. As I said, this man was hiding in a basement on the other side of the river. And here he is now in Jerusalem, and he's going to receive back all the land of his grandfather Saul. And it was a considerable wealth. Now he's crippled. He cannot walk. He cannot work as a farmer. But King David said, we'll make provision for that too. The servant is still there, Ziba, and his sons and his servants. They will do the work for you, and you will have an income. And then the second thing. You shall eat at my table always. So while Ziba and his people, they will work, do the work for you on your farm, you will eat at my table every day. Isn't that amazing? As I said, he was hiding in the basement, fearing for his life. And now, every day he's going to be there with the king's sons, Amnon, Absalom, Solomon. He's going to have good food. He's going to be treated like royalty. Well, this morning, brothers and sisters, a table is prepared here in church. The Lord shows us his kindness. He remembers his covenant with us. He grants us a place at his table. And you know, this is just a foretaste. This is a small table. We are only a few people here. But you know, this is a foretaste. We are going to be eating with the king's sons and daughters in eternity, in heaven, the heavenly wedding banquet. That is what Jesus Christ has earned for us. And he wants to share it with us. He wants us to be there with him. He is going to be drinking the wine new with us in the kingdom of his fathers, of his father. Now, the bread and the wine are a reminder that this was a costly thing. We are happy every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, but we are also, our happiness is mixed with grief, because we know that in order for us to be at the king's table, the king's son had to die for our sins. The gospel is a wonderful thing. How do we respond to this? Mephibosheth fell on his face. He says, I can't believe it. Why do you show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Dead dog was worth nothing in Israel. A dog was worth nothing. A dead dog was worth absolutely nothing. That's a good, humble attitude. We should also be humble if we realize what Jesus Christ has done in order for us to be able to share in the blessings of his Father's house. Brothers and sisters, if you see what King David did, it was a glorious moment in his reign when he showed kindness to a grandson of King Saul, the son of Jonathan, and he made him eat at his table every day. It's a beautiful picture of what happens in church. It's a beautiful picture of what happens this morning here. We see God's kindness on display. We see God's faithfulness to his covenant. And we see God's blessings on display, abundant. God, brothers and sisters, is surprisingly kind. You know yourself. I know myself. You know your history. You don't deserve it. No reason to put confidence in ourselves. But then he comes to you, invites you to the palace, and says, come here. I want to show you kindness for the sake of my son, Jesus Christ. You shall eat at my table always. Brothers and sisters, believe it, receive it, and enjoy it. In the fear and the faith of God. Amen.